All best wishes, and thanks for tuning in. This is episode 2, with His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Robert III.
We are at Harvard University in Emerson Hall on August 5th, 1981, greeting His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who is here to address a group of scholars and students on Buddhist philosophy. Your Holiness, thank you very much for being here with us. We are deeply honored here in America. And today I thought to give you an opportunity, and we would also like to hear, in addition to the philosophical and religious subjects you have been completely overwhelming us with, your profundity and eloquence. And today we would also like to hear something about Tibet, about something close to your heart, about your people, about the situation in Tibet. And I'd just like to open it to you to make any statement about Tibet that you want. I have a particular game I would like to play about it, sort of to imagine that I was some sort of a government official, perhaps the president, or secretary of state, or head of the United Nations or something, just imagining that such persons were there to listen to you, and you could really tell what is deepest in your heart about Tibet and the Tibetan people, and what the world should try to do about it. That's what I would like you to do, if you would be so kind.
Now, you know, we Tibetan, with a long history and quite rich cultural heritage. So at the moment, we're passing through, great difficulties. But now, fortunately, since 2-3 years back, now things are changing in more, a positive way. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I am quite hopeful. Mm-hmm. And of course, we very much appreciate the sympathy shown by the outside world.
Yes.
Including many people from this country.
Yes.
If someone who do not know about Tibetan problem, about Tibet,
yes,
that is different.
Yes.
But those people who actually, some knowledge, mm-hmm, about Tibet, then there are, spontaneous sympathy expression. I very much appreciate. Now, I believe, we Tibetan, though small country, and small pop, only 6 million.
Right.
Yet we are human being.
Yes.
We have the right to be happy. So we are carrying the movement or the struggle. We are not anti some particular, race or particular idea or ideology or system.
Yes.
In very nature of our struggle, nothing, no involvement, any ideology or racial problem like,
yes,
that. We just opposing the injustice,
yes,
to work,
mm-hmm,
attitude.
Yes.
So this is the general, situation.
Yes.
And I would like, If you ask particular questions, then I will speak.
Yes, and thank you, Your Holiness. My approach is, everyone says, you know, injustice, and everyone is quick to talk about such injustice. But when you actually press anyone to actually do something to help, then always what Your Holiness has referred in past talks sometimes to, secondary considerations always arise. Oh, well, it's a small place. Oh, well, there are so many other difficulties. Oh, well, what is the purpose and so forth? And people always lose sight of the human reality of Tibet because of all these secondary considerations, and their sympathy becomes merely wishes without any action behind them. So I thought it would perhaps be inspiring for people to think positively and optimistically. As you said the other day, you're an optimist. You expect the best, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. So I would like you to express something about the best. In other words, for example, if Tibet was free tomorrow, if the Chinese occupation army was to decide to, let's go home. Let's go back and go fishing in the Yangtze. And they said, let's let His Holiness go back to Tibet. Let the Tibetans do what they want. What would you like to do? Could Tibet as a free nation play in the world today? How could they, some say Switzerland of Asia and this sort of thing, what would your vision, Your Holiness' own vision for your land be if you had your power to establish as you wished? I think it would inspire people to see a positive vision of Tibet as a happy country. You see, they've only known Tibet as closed to the world, land of magic and mystery, flying llamas and yaks and buttered tea and so forth. On the other hand, subsequent to Your Holiness having escaped from the dreadful invasion that came upon Tibet due to the world's failure to really recognize its importance, they have only seen, as you have said yesterday, the other day, the plight of Tibet has been a voiceless truth, a truth of human suffering without a voice. And so they have never had the idea of a modern Tibet and yet a free Tibet. So I'm asking Your Holiness to imagine, look, what would you do? Just today, say, here we're in Tibet now, what do you do? Tenzin Teto, where shall we go? What shall we do? What kind of schools should we have? What would we do? Would we invite the United Nations? What would Your Holiness do? Just for fun.
That's difficult to say. Anyway, I always believe it's a community of a people, a group of people. As a Buddhist nation, though there are quite a number of other believers, Christians, Muslims, is a Tibetan Christian, Tibetan Muslim, and also quite a number of Tibetan, original religion we call Burmese.
Yes.
Burmese. Mm-hmm. So you see, majority are Buddhist. So as a Buddhist nation, you see, the basic belief is non-violence.
Yes.
It's a peace.
Yes.
And also, you see, we Buddhists usually call other sentient being as a mother sentient being.
Yes.
You know, you see.
Yes.
Masam Janam Ji, mother sentient being.
Mm-hmm.
So in that is a sense, there's no racial problem.
Yes.
You see, everyone, behave and motivation.
Yes.
Something good, something nice. You see, I always believe, you see, all humankind are the same.
Yes.
Basically, all are the same human being. So you say a group, the respect for every nation, for
yes.
every, races.
Yes.
And then also, I think, I always, express the all different the ideology, different religion, different faith.
Yes.
They mainly aiming for benefit of mankind. Mm-hmm. So you see, we not going to any argument or fighting. Yes. Due to ideology or system or mm-hmm. faith.
Yes.
So it really is a harmony and friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So, how to say, a community.
Yes.
That is, you see, I think very important.
Yes.
So at the moment, you see, we have, you see, many problems in this world actually created by human mind.
Mm-hmm.
Not due to natural disaster, but yes. due to, you see, human mind.
Certainly.
Because of, you see, differences of ideology, differences
yes.
of, how to say, the system, differences of races.
Yes.
These are, as you put it, you see, how to say this, I always believe it's secondary.
Yes.
So the most important thing is we must respect as a human being.
Yes.
As a you call brothers, sisters, or the mother sentient being.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have this sort of attitude and treat all sentient being or all mother sentient being right way, I think we can solve many problems
yes.
without difficulties. This is I always believe.
Yes. So Tibet, you could see, Tibet, you promised to provide spiritual leadership in the community of nations. As a free country, Tibet would provide a kind of leadership and example of neutrality and impartiality to everyone. Perhaps it would be a good place for a UN branch in Tibet. Except perhaps
this question, although you I'm casually asking
yes.
questions, but some say, but we must think these are, the political nature.
Yes.
So sometimes not much useful to talk.
Really?
You say too much political, certain political thing.
No. True, but I don't want to, in other words, I'm not trying to be political in order, in the sense of discussing the strategies,
uh-huh.
how to get this positive situation.
Mm.
But somehow it seems to me that in striving for a positive situation, people sometimes forget to imagine what it would be like if such a situation were to come to be. So no one can quite imagine, everyone's so used to everything being horrible, you know, and something being wrong, that it's kind of unusual to think of it being right and what would be gained from that. So I am making kind of unrealistic, perhaps, imagination, but it seems to me worthwhile.
Right. And one thing is, since you see, we Tibet, beautiful scenery.
Yes.
The high mountains, the high plateaus.
I probably mainly want to go to Tibet.
Mm.
You know, I promised my next sabbatical.
So you see, maybe it's a tourist center. That's very possible.
Yes.
And then also, you see, we have very good water resources.
Yes.
So in fact, this is some, there's one Japanese company, called the
Mitsubishi?
No, Mitsubishi. I think you see that company.
Yes.
See in early this century.
Yes.
They already taking interest about the water resources.
Yes.
Mm. So you see, if we utilize fully.
Yes.
Resources, water resources. I think we can give electricity supply
right.
for some people say, you see, if we fully utilize the water resource
right.
and we can supply electricity in, you see, large areas in eastern neighbor as well as in southern neighbor, says like that.
Right.
So anyway, you see, these are worthwhile to, explore.
Explore.
And also, you see, recent Chinese, the people trying to find certain minerals, what do you call that?
Mining, exploring.
Mining, yes.
Yes, geologists.
Oh, yes.
Geologists.
According to some Chinese geologists, you see, they found quite rich minerals.
Yes.
Around the Lhasa area.
Yes.
As well as in some further northern area.
Yes.
So you, if you see these things are, I mean, there, it is very important to use for benefit of mankind.
Surely.
And plus, since we believe, the mysterious forces or other mystery phenomena.
Yes.
So mystery beings.
Mm-hmm.
So before mining or digging these certain things,
right,
we have to consider these, unseeing community.
Yes.
Unseeing community.
Yes.
So you see, in perhaps you know in our tantric scriptures or in certain scriptures, before doing certain digging or certain like that,
right,
certain prayer and certain meditations there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
That would be a very exportable, you could export that skill very readily. I think everyone where one minds, they should have someone to enter, to make a mandala for the sadhan, have a lama in front of the bulldozer, and make them less angry, their spirits. Right? So you would industrialize more seriously. You would want in Tibet to become industrialized. You would feel that would be
of course, certainly.
Implement technology.
Oh, right. Since we, in a certain area, the climate is quite too cold for cultivation.
Yes.
Now the only is the animals. And then, I think, very important to make industries.
Yes. Yes, so you would but do that. How would you...
One disadvantage, we have no sea road. Sea route.
Yes.
So, in future, maybe train.
Yes, trains,
then the other,
airplanes.
Other one, only alternative is aeroplane.
Right, right.
So we need some, big aeroplane, which can bring big missions.
Right, sure. Well, they have huge ones. They can carry tanks. Nowadays, all the big airplanes, unfortunately, are mostly carrying tanks and rockets, but they can carry 20 tanks in some of them. So if you had peaceful machinery, there's no problem at all with Tibet today. I think, how would you relate this industrial development of a modernized and industrial economy to the monastic system and to Buddhism? How would you reform the Buddhist institutions that had been, which Tibet is famous for as being the last traditional stronghold of the monastic society?
Right. We need many change. And I think in the style of monks, way of life, style, I think many things we should learn from Christian practice.
Mm-hmm.
So the Christian monks, they are, it seems to me, very realistic and very useful.
Yes.
In the sense, in the social work.
Yes.
So it's a monk, it's a Tibetan monk, I mean some portion or some monk can work in education field and the health field. I think furthermore in light industry.
Yes.
I think monk could participate.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, a monk at the same time a productive force.
Yes.
That is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, some remain in the isolated place.
Right.
Like saint.
Right.
Saintly way of life and hold their energy spent on meditation and vipassana like that.
Right.
It's very good.
Right. But you would therefore think of creating an order of worker monks.
Right.
Like some of the worker priests.
Actually,
in the Western
in the ancient time, in each monastery,
yes,
the quite a number of monks, participate in even in construction.
Huh.
In monasteries, in construction or carpentry. And how to say the painting, like this was many monks carry.
That's interesting.
But you see, go in social, in society.
Yes.
In the past, not much,
Yes.
Habit or something like that.
Yes.
Habit. So in future, you must participate. And you see our the Mahayana teachings principle. You must help help other, serve yes. other, not only from, how to say, from imagination.
yes.
But you see, in actual
help. Actual labor.
You see, yes. really, I mean, yes. necessary.
Yes, you have heard.
And the country yeah. as a whole, mm-hmm. a community or human being, I think this should be done.
Right, right. Well, that's a very, very interesting picture. I can see a Buddhist monk wearing, because in a factory, I think, with a long robe, with a sen, it might get caught in one of the machines. So they would, you'd have to make a kind of suit like Catholic wears, with a collar or something, red suit. Would you foresee such an innovation?
Possible.
Such a kind of thing? And yet remain a monk and work for the welfare of people in the world. I think your predecessor, the 13th Dalai Lama, he had this idea. Is that true? I have heard and read that at one point he tried to institute such reforms.
According to that that period.
Yes.
I think he was, he got some his modern idea. I think.
How do you mean he? You mean he? You mean
he? Of course, a separate physical at least. You see.
So
time change. Yeah. We cannot remain as is the past bed.
Yes.
We should change. Like that?
Yes. What about the educational system? Can you think of how you would? You once asked me if I would perhaps divide my time from translating Tibetan texts into English and perhaps try to translate some Western books on physics and philosophy into Tibetan. And I'm not a good enough bodhisattva to do that, unfortunately, just yet. But would you foresee translating into Tibetan and a lot of Western knowledge and modifying and creating an educational system?
Of course. It's very necessary. Highly essential. The general education system is... See, we in India also, you see, as a being refugee, we already implementing the sort of combination, modern education as well as our own, ancient tradition.
Mm-hmm.
That means, you see, the education which related mental development.
Yes.
And education mainly related with external material development.
Yes.
So, as a Buddhist viewpoint, it is necessary to combine these two.
Yes.
So the education system is something very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
So in future Tibet, I think, you see, the modern education with our own traditional rich heritage
yes.
Go together.
Yes, I was thinking when you were talking the other day with President Bach, and you mentioned about, you, the two of you agreed that it was necessary to train the heart as well as the head, that the Tibetan education, representing the ancient educational system in its refined form from these great pundits of ancient India, has something truly to contribute to Western or modern education with its concentration on brain, on brain only. And so you're having freedom to develop such a system in Tibet might be a great contribution to international education in some way. To find out how, for example, would you see, for example, young Tibetan in the course of universal education, learning Madhyamaka and Samsamba and Prajnaparamita as well as physics, but simultaneously, even younger, without being monk, perhaps.
Oh, of course,
and, yes. And could you see a different system like that, which would be not like the usual ancient monastic system, but a modern way of learning those subjects?
Yes, we in India already, you see.
Oh, you're doing already?
Like that.
How have you, can you tell a little how you're trying to combine them? I think that would be very interesting.
You say in lesson, you see, they learn these philosophical things, included these things. So it seems useful.
Yes.
So of course, you see, we need many, many, you see, further, improvement.
Right.
You see, through our own experience, we experiment certain thing, we gain certain experience, then from that experience we have to use a further, how to say, change or improvement like that.
Right.
So in any way, the education system is one of the most important. You
right.
see, if you want, see, good human being,
mm-hmm.
that means not only education,
mm-hmm.
but the person, whether you call soul or self, itself mm-hmm. must be a good one.
Right.
Then the whole education or his knowledge,
right.
his or her knowledge,
mm-hmm.
will utilize in proper way.
Mm-hmm.
If they, you see, self, not properly developed, then education sometimes used in wrong way, wrong
yes.
direction.
Sure.
And as a result, bring more, how to say, more fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I had many opportunities to talk with some of the Indian, I would say, the educationists.
Mm-hmm.
So many of them is agree the education system from the beginning.
Yes.
We need to see some, how to say, some evolution, or I don't know.
Right. But you have a tremendous contribution. Sometimes colleagues of mine, Professor Hopkins, some of his students in the University of Virginia, in the graduate school, they learn Lodik, Tariq, these basic books, Dujah.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of us, we're supposed to be well-educated, already in school 15 years, and you know, white color and black color is white and so forth, the color is, you know, these simple things. You as children in Tibet learn these simple rules of thinking. This is big revelation to us. Oh, logic is like this, and we're supposed to be educated. So if you're the young Tibetans already studying such a very precise rules of thinking, you have a great internal science, it seems, to contribute to the world, if you had more freedom in which to make this contribution known, it seems. Don't you think so?
Maybe. Perhaps.
That brings to mind another thing. I like the phrase, this Buddhist science.
Mm.
You know, they have such an expression, Christian science, kind of. We have here something known as Christian science, kind of mind power, power of spirit over material. But then there has never yet quite been coined the use of expression Buddhist science or enlightenment science. But how do you view that issue? In other words, whereas in Buddhism, do most people think of it just as a religion or kind of culture? But
since I think, you see, is it there? I mean, it's a certain point. I think many points can learn for a, you see, non-believer, even non-believer.
Yes.
You see, I think some idea can learn from Buddhist teaching.
Yes.
A person remain as a, I'm thinking only this life and worldly life.
Right.
I think, you see, from Buddhist teaching, we can contribute about the, mainly I think the consciousness,
yes.
about mind, about
right.
the brains, you see, function and the brain's work,
yes.
and relation between mind and physical, and through, you see, sometimes through control physical and changing mind.
Right.
So the opposite way, through control mind, changing physical.
Right.
I think, you see, some of my friends already experiment in this line. You see, they expressed some satisfactory result.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, this is certain, there's a mental problem and mental depression.
Sure,
mental,
so see, many mental, sick people, crazy
mental,
people,
see, mental sickness.
Tremendous social cost, this is in the Western countries. Millions and billions of dollars spent.
I think it's through certain philosophy as well as through certain techniques.
Yes.
You see, the breath, what do you call it, the breathing control or certain physical exercise, yoga practice.
Yes.
I think it's some, how to say, contribution or certain point.
Perhaps you could have a very thriving psychiatric institutes in Tibet, sanatorium.
So you can,
people go.
You may call Buddhist science, I think.
Yes, Buddhist science.
So useful. Yes. No, I agree.
So it's a wonderful, a picture emerges of Tibet's contribution.
Mm-hmm.
You initially said racially, a kind of bridge between the Chinese, 1 billion, one third of humanity, and the Indian and the European type of Westerner, kind of bridge place in between. And in the science, a bridge place, but in the ideology, a bridge place between communist and capitalist, perhaps in a way, kind of bridge where they can communicate in some way, some kind of compromises.
I have some serious thought about the dialogue between Buddhism and Marxism.
Yes.
So I feel, you see, in reality today, from the Great Siberia up to Thai border,
yes,
the modern, I think, one quarter of the human being,
yes,
in this area,
right,
the
more than one third, I think, more than one third, about
now, you see, originally, you see, the majority. Local, people, majority are Buddhist.
Yes.
And same time, country governed by communist state.
Yes.
And I had some chance, you see, seeing Outer Mongolia as well as Buryat. And also I know, you see, through, information, through books or newspapers about you see, Cambodia and Laos and Vietnam.
Yes.
And Korea. And of course, you see, I know in China. About China. So you see, if we can do, if we can, I mean, we can, how to say, we can do something for the good relations between Marxism and Buddhism, I think it will benefit for millions and millions of people.
Yes.
So you put it. So I mean, you mentioned it. So nice.
It is nice. We certainly hope that, as I said, we certainly hope that Tibet. I have to say myself that we've known each other for some years. I used to always think. Remember, I used to joke sometimes that sort of I agreed. Everyone used to say Tibetan case is hopeless and a so small place and so many billions of people everywhere and all these military problems and who knows what else. And I was very discouraged myself. You know, and I remember you always held your truth, what you called the other day voiceless truth. I mean, you always spoke, but it wasn't heard widely. And I'm saying you have convinced me somehow, and it seems essential to the world to me that Tibet is restored to a place of being a free beacon, like lighthouse, you know, like a turning light. For the world, for Asia. It's like kind of Switzerland place, a free space. And for all these reasons that it bridges intellectually between the scientists, materialists, and the religious people, it can talk to both. They can't talk to each other, but Tibetan Buddhism can talk to both. And the ideology is communist, capitalist, and racially the Chinese and the Indo-Aryan, the Indo-Europeans. It seems to be a kind of bridge between them. So we sincerely hope that you will invite us to a seminar in Tibet sometime soon, to a university there.
Of course, certainly.
Sometime soon, although not before we invite you here again. I hope
Thank
you will
Thank
come
you
back
very much.
Again here before that.
Thank you.